Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Merry Christmas and God's blessings to all of you on this Christmas morning. Last night on Christmas Eve, we reflected on the meaning that we call Jesus Emmanuel. Isaiah, 700 years earlier, before the birth of Christ, had given that wonderful promise: "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Emmanuel is a Hebrew word that literally means God with us. God with us. And that's what the incarnation means, after all. It means that God is with us, and most importantly, that he shares with us in our humanity. That he knows every inconvenience, every temptation, and even every suffering ever known to man. This title, Emmanuel, or God with us, it gives us such insight into God's desire and his will from the foundation of the world to share in our life that we might share in his life. Within the perfect life of the Holy Trinity and the fellowship of God. And don't just dismiss that as pastor talk or theological jargon, because it's not. Everyone's got to get in on this. And think about this so carefully. Because in Jesus, the transcendent and unapproachable God becomes a human being who can be known and loved and received that we might be brought into the family of God. What a mystery. How wonderful. This should truly stun us and leave us amazed every time we dare to think about it. Because mostly in the Old Testament, most times when God comes around, it's a pretty terrifying business if you look into it. Remember, he appears to Abraham as a smoking furnace, to Israel as a pillar of fire, and to Job as a hurricane or tornado. In the book of Exodus, when Moses asks to see the face of God, he was warned that to do so would bring death. So instead, he opted to just catch a little glimpse of God's backside as he passed by while Moses clung to the cleft of a rock. Then, when Moses came down off the face of that mountain, his face was so bright that the people could not even look at him. It was like staring into the sun. So great and high and unapproachable was God in his glory. So this morning, I just want you to stop and slow down and think about this. That God is a man. Think about this. What if Moses in his lifetime was somehow instantly transported to today? To Christmas Day, right here. And imagine if he could sit in a pew right here with us at Luther Memorial Chapel and watch the gospel processional and then hear the words of St. John. Specifically those words, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory." Moses would throw himself on his knees at this mystery. He would upbraid us, me too, for our lack of joy, our lack of wonder, our boredom at this ministry, at this mystery. He would chew us out. Think about it. The tabernacle in the Old Testament, whose directions Moses carefully carried out, that was a temporary dwelling place of the Most High God. But now in the flesh of Jesus is God Most High, to dwell with man for all eternity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. You see, when God showed up in Jesus Christ, he was not in a pillar of fire. He was not in a furnace. He was not in a hurricane. He was not passing by in a wind in the cleft of a rock, but instead he comes to us as a baby. As a baby. And I think that's worth repeating again and again. Because the strange and astonishing message of Christmas, when it comes down to it, is really this: that God is a baby. So just pause and think about what that means when you take it seriously. Ask anyone about a baby, and they'll tell you that a baby changes everything. Ask any new parent about that. And how much more true is it when it comes to our Savior's birth? God showing up on the scene in this way. And this was the plan, by the way, from the very beginning, that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head and go on to vanquish death and hell and bring life and immortality to light. God is a baby. Behold the kindness of our God, His gentleness, how He goes to such lengths to make His love for you so obvious that you can just reach out and grab hold of Him. And that's the thing about little babies. They are harmless. They are helpless even. They can be picked up and they can be hugged and they can be kissed and they'll cling to you. They'll smile and they'll laugh. They do a whole bunch of other things too, which I probably don't need to elaborate on. But Martin Luther, in order to hammer the point home about the incarnation, would somewhat graphically explain how the creator of the universe, mighty God of heaven and earth, actually needed his diaper changed and his bottom wiped. Consider that. That's just the earthy, real business of God's incarnation. And you should meditate on that. You should think about that. So you've got to ask yourself, why would God come this time as a baby rather than as a firestorm or a fiery furnace or a tornado? Well, you see, God is teaching you that He's not come to bring judgment, but to bear it. He has come to pay the penalty for sins and to take away the barrier between humanity and God, and to restore and even to enhance 1,000 times over the relationship that we once enjoyed at the dawn of paradise. He is a baby. He has come in such a gentle and friendly way. Today's epistle from the book of Hebrews gives us such great insight into this mystery of Christmas and the significance of the incarnation. The writer to the Hebrews, he writes, "In many and in various ways God spoke to His people of old by the prophets, but now, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son." That is to say that God was speaking through Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Joseph. He spoke through Moses and Aaron, Samuel and David and Solomon. He spoke through Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets. And yet now, in the fullness of time, God sends His Son, born of a woman, to redeem us who are under the law. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. And St. John goes on to say in his first epistle, that which was from the beginning, the second person of the Trinity, the one which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our own hands concerning the word of life, was Christ Jesus. And in Him was the fullness of God, the fullness of the deity in flesh. God could not have possibly come in a more friendly way to us. And this is the amazing thing about Christmas, that everything that belongs to heaven is now born here among us on earth. And who can resist a baby? Who could refuse a child? Moses in the Old Testament, he just hoped to catch a passing glimpse of the back of God as He passed by on that mountain. But now you've got something far better in view. You've got the Holy Son of God ascending an altogether different mountain, Calvary, where His glory would shine for us more brightly upon that cross. Moses and the Israelites carefully constructed that tabernacle in the Old Testament, the place where God had promised to meet with man. But now God tabernacles among you in human flesh. And that same body, the same risen and glorified flesh of Jesus, is fed to you at the altar, where God resides with you in His holy sacrament and makes a home with you and dwells with you. Again, Moses and the prophets in their lifetimes would have all been bowled over at the privileges that you all now enjoy in the Church of Christ. So this morning, let us all stand in awe and wonder and be dumbstruck at the love of God, that God Most High for you became God Most Low. There was a time when man could not dare to look upon God and live. But now you can gaze upon the Son. We can travel with those shepherds on Christmas Day and look into the very face of God and experience His friendship and His love firsthand in this child. What love God has for you. What forgiveness He has for you. What great lengths He has gone to convince you of His incomprehensible love and compassion. As a closing thought on Christmas, the church has long given special attention to children, to the aged, to all those who are vulnerable, to the weak, to homebound members who are unable to leave their homes. And the church loves to give special attention to all those in need, the marginalized, the weak, the vulnerable. And the joy of Christmas also ought to move us, all of us, to see God in the needs of one another, especially in the helpless, the forsaken, the innocent. Martin Luther would say that we should look at one another and see each other as little Christs. Little Christs. Remembering the words of Jesus, whatever you do unto the least of these, the littlest ones, you do unto me. Therefore, the presence of God in our neighbors, God's presence in the needs of all those around us, is also a wonderful mystery, a wonderful mystery of the Incarnation and the summit and joy of Christ. Let us learn to live by the words of Jesus and to see God in one another. And may God, by His grace, remind us of this and help us to see Him in each other, and to live accordingly in lives of sacrificial love. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.